Coming up for the closing keynote, the journey to modern warehousing. So we talked about data, we talked about collecting all the data. I mean, the first thing that you can't go back from is, I didn't save the data, so what can I do? All right, and for that, I'm super excited to invite Simon Whiteley, Director of Engineering, owner of Advanced Analytics UK, and a Microsoft Data Platform MVP. Hello.
Hello. It's exciting to be here.
I like the classic Simon hello when you do this.
I'm just excited to be everywhere. It's like to wave at people. It's how I end all team conversations. It's just excited waving until people awkwardly leave. Away.
Fantastic. And Simon will be joined today by Savine Reddy. He is a group program manager here at Microsoft working on Azure Synapse. Hi, Savine.
Hello, Adi.
Fun fact about Savine, for the last year and a half, it was practicing playing the guitar. Yes. And he wrapped the Synapse general availability with a song with his team.
Yes. They told me I should practice more. That was their feedback.
Well, that happens, you know. Practice make practice, basically. All right. Savine and Simon, take it away.
Awesome. Thanks, Addy. So, Savine, how are you? It's got to be a fairly crazy time after last week, right?
Absolutely. I think all of us are just catching up on our sleep now.
Okay, and in case anyone doesn't know and hasn't seen all the news, why would you be tired? What was the news last week?
Well, on December the 3rd, there was a virtual event, and Satya Nadella, our CEO, announced formally the general availability of Azure Synapse Analytics. And that was a crazy week, and it was years in the making. Yeah. So unbelievable feeling for all of us.
I mean, there's a lot of celebration. It was cool to see just how many people were getting involved in the industry. And again, events like today, which has been awesome.
Yes.
But I want to wind back the clock. So it's been years in the making. You've had like a fairly crazy journey in Microsoft, right? So do you want to kind of tell us a bit about your journey in big data and how you got to where we are now with Synapse?
You know, I joined Microsoft to work on computer graphics, to be honest. And I swore to myself, I would never work on data, ever, right? And one of my managers said, hey, you should join this team. And I didn't want to be quite honest, but I really trusted that manager. He said it'd be great for me. And it was building an exabyte scale data lake inside Microsoft. And, you know, by various degrees, that turned into working on Azure Synapse. And that's how I got here. I love it. I say this every time I talk about it. I've had the most fun on this team. It's the best time I've had Microsoft ever. It always gets better. And I can't say anything but good things about it.
Awesome. But I want to dig into that lake, that exabyte style lake, right? So there's like so many people out in the world that are suddenly kind of adopting lakes, right? Kind of, it used to be this whole thing of you build a data lake if you're a big data specialist, if you've got kind of a real specialist problem. And now kind of with things like Synapse, with kind of things like ADLS and kind of the Amazon side of things, it's getting far easier to build a lake now than it used to be. And so there's a whole lot of people who are suddenly now just building a lake because it's now kind of, they're almost like inheriting a lake. I mean, so what are the lessons from managing a lake that big, an exabyte scale lake, that you kind of just shout out to people moving into lakes and things right now?
Yeah, well, you said something quite interesting, I think, at the beginning of that, which is, look, you know, I have worked in the exabyte scale, multiple exabytes. That's a long way off for a lot of people. Yeah. Even the petabyte scale is a really long way off for a lot of people. But the thing about the lake is the approach is interesting, and the approach is the thing that's going to scale. And, you know, it's a world that's very agile. It's a world that uses technologies and data formats you're not normally used to. You know, this is the world of imaging and audio processing and machine learning and model training, right? And just goes beyond and beyond that. So the approach of having a lake is the right one, absolutely. And I think any organization start thinking that way. If I had one piece of advice for someone, any organization getting one is, and we learned this, you know, when we built our systems, for a while it was the Wild West. And I would say there was the earlier session talked about data strategy. Have one. Mm. Make sure you start talking about it now. It's too late now. Get going. And number two, which is, you know, I think by now with GDPR and everything, it's in people's heads, but you have to think about compliance and governance. You've got to start there.
And that was a big thing from building many, many lakes. One of the things that we've learned is figure out how you're going to structure and store your data before you start putting it in. You know, because if you've got terabytes of data, or even if you've got just gigabytes of data, but across hundreds of different data entities, and someone says, oh, actually, can we secure it in a different way? And you suddenly have to pick up all these folders and put them back down in a different shape. And it's a world of pain. And that's one of the first bits of advice we always give is just, it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, you need to put thought behind it, yeah. But just make sure you put some thought behind it before you start landing in the data. Yeah, so it's a tool of like amazing agility, but it's really easy to then sit back after 6 months and go, oh, we got it wrong.
No, yeah.
We need to lift. Listen,
you know, a little bit of thought and thinking and planning goes a long way. And trust me, if you don't curate and you don't think and you don't maintain it, you will get into a data swamp easily, right? So it takes effort all the time.
Yeah, massively. So that term makes me twitch because it's almost been, it's like everyone like, you know, basically it's all propaganda from the SQL Server people who are obviously lovely people. So you don't need a lake. It'll turn into a data swamp. And it's like, it will if you don't put a little thought about it. But you don't need a huge amount of thought. You just need some thought, a little bit of upfront planning, a little bit of thinking, how do I want to carve it? And you've got that kind of way of working.
Absolutely. Now,
I want to switch at that point because Synapse wasn't the only thing that was announced last week. So we had this Azure Purview announced last week on that kind of stuff. How much have you been involved with that kind of side of things and adding governance into lakes?
You know what? Purview itself, I haven't been deeply involved with. That's an external offering. I can tell you this. You know, I mentioned I work on something very, I used to work on something very large, exabyte scale in Microsoft. Well, we had to build something like Purview for those exabytes, right? Yeah. And I got to tell you, first of all, it was obviously critical for our GDPR compliance story. At our scale, if you don't get that kind of understanding, the lineage, the understanding of how data is tagged, you're not going to be able to succeed at that kind of scale. So I'm proud and very excited to see that something like Purview is now available for customers because we depend on the equivalent inside Microsoft.
Absolutely. And the number of times I've had to build some kind of bespoke thing to do a level of governance that's that kind of just enough governance to enable people to use lakes and get involved in it and all that kind of stuff. And I look forward to not having to build that manually all the time now.
It's very difficult to build. Very difficult to build.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay. So there's one side of things on, we talked about, you know, so lakes are becoming this big, big thing. You know, kind of they've been big and specialist for a long time. And as you said, kind of the exabyte, petabyte kind of problem. If you're having that problem, build a lake, great. And now it's kind of, you know, the tools are becoming more mainstream. It's getting more done for you. It's getting more out of the box. Just, you know what, just build up a lake, create some folders, you can start using it. And how much do you see that shift happening? I mean, how much do you see kind of, so do you think a lot of people are going to stop being like some SQL warehousey people and become like Spark people? I mean, how do you see the shift in skills happening?
Well, let me talk about the shift that I observed. You know, back in 2014, I would talk to customers and I'd say, hey, you know, you should use something like, we didn't have Synapse Analytics back then, but like it and data lake. And they always used to say something like, and these were very large companies. They'd say, we love the concept, we'll never do it.
Yeah.
Because they were scared of building a lake, you know, from a third party provider. First of all, that has gone away. I think they'll do it by degrees and it will not be a small transition. What I observe in people I talk to is that they've mentally made the switch. That first switch was to trust the cloud. The second one is they now understand they can't ignore the lake. They can't ignore the approaches. They can't ignore Spark or machine learning. So, you know, they're getting there, and they made that first switch in their brains to do that.
I mean, yeah, we see similar things, right? You know, kind of, and I guess I've almost kind of just, almost like sort of preaching, going out kind of just to people who are fairly on-prem, you know, kind of, they've got traditional SQL Server, they've got a big enterprise warehouse, yeah. And just saying, you know, there's real benefits to building out modern data warehouse, to building out kind of, you know, kind of augmenting things with Spark or going Spark only, or kind of, there's loads of different approaches now. Right. And it kind of explodes into a world of different architectures. So how much of, I guess, how much do you guys come across when talking about, you know, kind of the products that you're developing, things like, obviously, the one I've done a lot of work with recently is the Lakehouse approach. So using a lot of, essentially just having a Spark-driven warehouse, but you see people building PAPR architectures that are stream-only, people building a data mesh, a ton of different lakes and things going on. I mean, kind of, how much do you guys get involved in terms of, I guess, those emerging architectures and where they're going?
You're asking about, like, what we're observing in...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think... What I have seen is this, like, people are getting awfully creative, right? And there really are so many different approaches out there. I will say that sort of the common cases that I observe are really that standard modern data warehouse pattern where they, you know, it's very standard stuff. They have a serving layer, they're ingesting data, they're training a model, prepping the data with Spark. That accounts for so much. Having said that, as we see scenarios where people are doing, you know, again, audio and video processing, analyzing huge corpuses, and some of those workloads are starting to shift from traditional data warehouse things into that Spark world, into those different media formats, right? I think you're going to see even more creative applications come out in these enterprises. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's an exciting time when suddenly people have these tools at their fingertips, and it's kind of certainly back in the day, permitting someone to use Spark, for example, they have to go and invest in a load of actual tin and infrastructure and apply it and build these things. And there's a huge upfront bit of work. Whereas now if they can, you know, just write a notebook, spin up a Spark cluster that lives for, 10 minutes, do some work, try it out, you know, the barrier to try this stuff is tiny. Which is going to be, as you said, make it a lot less risky, which means people innovate more.
You know, you said something so important, because one of the things we always talk about is the ability for this approach for people to experiment. Now, experimentation can be taken as A/B testing. I do mean it that way, of course, but also it means you can try piecemeal approaches. You don't have to commit the full thing to one approach. You can try Spark here and there. You can try other approaches. It does, and that's one of the brilliant things about this approach of putting these things together.
It's very, very cool. So I guess for organizations who are thinking about going this route, who are kind of, they're maybe in the cloud already, or they're kind of thinking about moving to the cloud, they've got an existing warehouse and they're migrating it over and they're going to hop on something like Synapse to use it. I guess what's your advice for adopting a modern warehouse and kind of getting involved in there?
Well, first of all, you know, if you're an existing Synapse customer, meaning you are using SQL Data Warehouse, remember, you don't have to migrate to use the new features that Satya announced. You can actually enable Synapse, the workspace, on top of your existing data. It's a single click in the Azure portal. So do that today, right? It doesn't cost you anything. It changes nothing. Everything still works. But now you have the new features. You can play around with the new Synapse Studio. You can play around with, and I would say the first thing you should try when you enable this new feature on your existing data warehouses is our new serverless SQL pool. We find there's tremendous interest in moving bursty workloads or workloads that need to scale to a lot of concurrent users to serverless SQL. And then start playing a little bit with Spark, right? So you can pick, again, you can pick this up piecemeal just by turning on that workspace on your existing data warehouse.
So is that kind of almost the gateway drug into the world of big data? You kind of see as people going from a traditional, you know, kind of, so whilst SQL Data Warehouse dedicated to SQL pools, the very kind of, you know, feels quite natural. And sure, it's an MVP engine, but, you know, you go in through Management Studio and it feels kind of quite like I'm turning my server and I'm using it. And then you've got serverless SQL for querying a lake and kind of getting involved in doing that scale-up distributed stuff, all things with the Polaris engine underneath, which is just insanely cool. And then moving into things like Spark and the kind of the more traditional world of big data and open source stuff. Is that kind of how you see that progression?
Absolutely. You captured it perfectly.
Awesome. Although everyone should just learn Python and use Spark, right?
Everyone should, yes.
Might have a slight bit of bias in there. So in terms of, on signups, one of the cool things that we've seen is, I guess from kind of the outside perspective, it's like the coming together of all these different approaches and teams, really, you know, kind of. So certainly through MVP, you've kind of been chatting to the dedicated Super Pools guys and the Data Factory guys and kind of some of the guys on the Lakeside. And how's it been kind of just having this coming together, all these different teams that have existed separately into this one dedicated Synapse team?
Well, you know what? At the same time all this happened, the COVID situation happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we're used to working in geographically distributed teams. I will say this, we've had to change how we work because now everything's virtual, of course. And I feel like we're more productive than ever.
Mm.
And we're better communicators because we realize we don't have the crutch anymore of having someone walk into a meeting room.
Yeah. With us.
We have to write email better. We have to write meeting notes better. We communicate more clear. So I think it's actually made us a more efficient organization. Absolutely.
I've certainly noticed I tend to end meetings a lot more. You know, I always used to feel bad going, I only need 5 minutes if everyone's got into a room. If it's a team, it's just like, yeah, okay, you can have half an hour back. We don't need to sit here and make use of the meeting. Okay, well, the one thing I do want to say, I do have the representing for today.
You know, I don't even have one of those.
Ah, straight on it. I thought it would make sense for the day, right?
Thank you.
The one last thing I do want to ask. So if people are just starting out on the journey and they haven't really seen much of what's going on, what's like the one killer feature that they should be looking at in terms of Synapse and the new stuff that's coming out, or just generally in terms of adopting these approaches?
You know, I'll get killed no matter what I say.
Closing division.
I will say this. Honestly, I think the thing that's going to impress you most, especially if you have that kind of traditional background, serverless SQL pools.
Yeah.
That's a thing. And that's where I see the interest, really. Right. And once you get a taste of that, you'll move into the Spark world. Right.
So it's definitely an area that we've had just tons and tons of questions from, you know, because many times someone's coming to us talking about it, because I guess it's one of the ones that just there hasn't been that thing, that hasn't been an offering before, right? You know, so we've had SQL Data Warehouse before. You've had the ability through HD Insight, through Databricks, through other things to build Spark engines, but maybe not as plumbed into everything else, was that ability to write a query that does scale out and scale up and all the crazy stuff over a lake without spinning anything up. There hasn't really been, this is a new slice of functionality that we've not seen in the show before.
That's right. Especially when it's so integrated with the rest of the system in terms of security and monitoring and management, it makes it a really great environment to start your exploration.
That's awesome. And I'm glad to say that shortly in a few minutes, myself and Eddie are going to have a look at serverless SQL and run through some of the stuff that we can do with it. So it's almost perfectly, perfectly teed up. Okay. I don't know if, are we out of time? Are we still good? Don't know where we are. Oh, we can keep going. It's fine. Okay. We're out of time. Okay. In which case, we'll invite Andy back and I'll say thanks, Savine. It's been a fantastic chatting to you.
Thank you so much. Great to talk with you as always, Simon.
Thank you, Savine. It was fantastic to have you. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for talking about serverless SQL. You definitely prepped everyone for our next session. All right. Take care, Savine.